ஆமாம் சுபலாய கிருஷ்ணபிரசாய உதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்திவிநாந்த சுவாமிநிதி நாமினே நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதேவிம் கௌரவாணி பிரஜாரிணே நிர்விசேஷ சூன்யவாதி பாஷாத்ய தேசதாரிணே பஜ ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபோ நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதார ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌர பக்தவ்ருந்த ஹரே கிருஷ்ண ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே 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 ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே 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 ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே 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 கிருஷ்ண ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே 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 ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே 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 கிருஷ்ண ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே 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 ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே தேஹினோஸ்மின் யதா தேஹே கௌமாரம் யௌவனம் ஜரா ததா தேஹாந்தர ப்ராப்திர் தீரஸ்தத்ரா நமுஹ்யதி. We were discussing that verse yesterday and Krishna says to Arjuna that, Arjuna, the first thing in spiritual life is this grip on the body must go. This is the first requirement. The connection with this body, what we have created ourselves due to our ignorance inside, that must go. So that is why this whole second chapter, this verse, Krishna comes to, first he spoke about the spiritual level, where we are supposed to be. Then he is telling us where we are now. First he told us where we are supposed to be. That is that verse, Nasade Vidyade Bhavo. It is that verse telling us where we are supposed to be. But then he is telling us where we are, which is Deham, in the bodily identity. So, this verse requires a lot of introspection and reflection on that verse. Otherwise, this attachment won't go. It will hold on to us. And Krishna gives us certain techniques after that, how to free yourself from this bodily identity. In Vedanta philosophy, it's always the same point is stressed again, again and again, because it's a part of the Shravanam process. Otherwise, this ignorance, which how did it come to us? It also came step by step. So in the same way, step by step, we have to break it away also from our head, this identity with the body. So in another two verses after this, Krishna will talk about what happens if you, how to do this in a, with a little understanding of the material nature. That will come later. And in other words, after that, Krishna will speak about the what happens to a person who has released himself from the bodily connection, from the bodily identity. So, and it is after that, Krishna is going to talk about another aspect of the truth, which is one of the most important things in the Bhagavad Gita. From now on, many of the verses are in relationship with the truth, very much close to the truth. Therefore, they are very important verses also in the Bhagavad Gita. So, Krishna says here, yesterday we saw that the Kaumaram Yavanam Jara, he spoke about the changes that happens to the body, isn't it? That happens to the body. So, normally, a material body has a nature that it stays in the womb for some time, then it comes out, then another state it stays for some time. Garbhavasam is the first thing, and then it comes out, and then after birth, it stays for some time, then it starts growing up. It starts growing. Then changes happens in that body. Parinamam. Pariniyade, it says. And after changes happens, then it starts, stays for some time and start gets deterioration starts. After deterioration starts, eventually it gets destroyed. It gets destroyed. So Krishna is saying to us, keep observing this in the body all the time. This change is happening. That's why he says here that first thing, the state while inside the womb, and then when it comes out, another state, then in the state when it's growing, and then it's a state when it is transforming, and then it is a state when it is decaying, and eventually the state of death. So the six states is called Shad Parinama Vedam. Shad Parinama. The six kinds of transformation that takes to the material body. That happens to the material body. It's a thing which Krishna says you keep on observing this. What's happening with your own body. And this Shadbhava Vikaram. Shadbhava Vikaram means that a transformation that is happening inside, in this body. Just like Vikaram is a special word in the Shastram. Because you will see that also in the Brahma Samhita is mentioned. Kshiram dada dhati vikara vishesha yogad. Like milk transforms into yogurt or curd or whatever. Milk transforms itself. Once it is transformed, it cannot bring it back to the original state again. That is its vikara means. Vikara means if it has changed, you cannot bring it back to it again. Material body is also like that. It transforms from the baby form to the boyhood form, youthhood form, old age form, decay, and eventually dies. You cannot bring it back. The reverse process is not possible. That is the thing important about this thing. Exactly the same instruction Sri Narada Maharshi gives to Prahlada also. If you look into 7th canto of Bhagavatam, you will see there Narada Maharshi says to Prahlada while Prahlada was within the womb, Krishna is saying the same thing, Narada Maharshi is saying this, exactly the same thing to Prahlada also, the nature of the body. The nature of the body. Then, body has to go through this what is known as vigaram. This is called vigaram. This change, what is happening inside the, in the body. But, soul has no vigaram. This is another important thing. Soul doesn't transform any time. It stays as it is. It has no transformation under any circumstances. So Krishna says, vigaram is for the body and the soul has nothing, no change at all. But what is the position of the soul? In spite of all these changes that is happening within the body, the soul is standing behind as a witness to all these things. What's happening with the body? So I gave this example before that somebody took his photograph when he was 2 or 3 years old and kept the album all throughout the life. And at the age of 80 or 85, when he has a great-granddad, he calls his grandchildren and says to him, look at my photo. So the children are saying, this is not you. Isn't it? This is not you. But why is that? Because the child is only seeing the body. Only through the body child is looking at it. But granddad is absolutely convinced. Nobody has to convince him that it's the same person. He knows. He was there in that body before. I have come to this body now. This change has happened. So that is the changes what we were discussing before. Then even scientists are saying that after 7 years, all the cells in the body changes. All the cells in the body changes. Then, in exactly like the way the body is changing, you also notice the mind is changing in the same way, isn't it? Our mind, when we were children, their mind was different. We found happiness in some things, which you don't find happiness anymore in those things, like the toys and playing with the toys and things like that. As you grow up, in the youth, the happiness in something different. That very much identification, as Krishna said, as a couple of Vasudeva said in the yesterday, we were reading that Sahadevena Manina, that bodily identity has grown so strong in the youth. You yourself start thinking, I'm very beautiful, I look very attractive, other people feel the same way. And you get the impression that there's only this one state exists for the body in the youth. This is the problem. Look at all the advertisements, everything. They will only present the youth, young people, whether it is soap or advertisements for the soap or any perfumes or anything. It's always young people. Very rarely they present older people, because they know if you present old people, nobody will watch. Who wants to see the old people? Just take it away from that. So this thing that body has changed, Kaumaram Yavanam Jaram, that this is the only thing that stands steady in all time. That is the soul. In Kaumaram Yavanam Jaram is all for the body. That is important point, Krishna says. And if this perception has come inside strongly, then we will understand the three things we spoke about before. I'm not this body. Body is not mine. And this body is not no use to me. at the end. It is meant for destruction. It will go its own way. I have nothing to do with it. If these three things are realized, then immediately there is self-realization. There is self-realization, if these things are realized. But that doesn't happen very easily. That doesn't happen very easily. I'm not this body, theoretically we understand. Body is not mine. Body is not mine. If you have understood the body is not mine, then you will know I will not try to manipulate the body too much. Isn't it? When do I start manipulating the body? When I'm thinking that it is my body. Isn't it? So, if we come to realize that this body is not mine, then I will not try to pamper this body too much, to look after this body too much. This bodily ignorance, even in yogis, is very big. That it is this attachment to the body that is, again, that strong, how deep-rooted that desire is. That is why through various processes we want to live eternally here, in this world. And inside, Krishna is telling us, you can't do that. You can't do that. Because this knowledge comes in. Once we understand that properly, then we will not endeavor very much to maintain this body in an artificial way. Body is there because of prarabdham. If this knowledge is realized, then attachment on body and the grip on the body will loosen up. It will loosen up. Because then you know that what is causing this body to stay, and it has its own span, lifespan decided already, and it is only going to stay that much time, no matter what you do about it. And when that prarabdham is over, the body will go. Practically, why all our efforts, all you can do probably is to keep this body going for that period of time, perhaps in a little healthier condition. That it may be possible to do that. But the amount of time you invest in that is not worth. That's what Krishna is saying. Because body is subjected to these changes. Changes will happen. And you also see here that the body, you must know, Krishna says, you must know that the body is independent of you. It has taken birth without asking your approval. It has grown up without asking your approval. It did not stay in the youth, even though you wanted to stay. It didn't wait. It has changed. And similarly, it starts decaying also without your approval. And it will leave you also without your approval. So, in all circumstances, body acts completely independent. Body acts completely independent. That is the nature's law. That you can't alter. That's what Krishna is saying. The material body given to you has a certain way of working in this world. And that will continue to do that way. It's not going to change at all. And if this is all understood properly, Krishna says that your attachment to the body will come away, go away from there. And it is the most important thing before we enter into the spiritual side of life. This release from the identity with the body. So, having said that, Krishna says there that when a tree is planted outside, the tree is growing. Whether if you water it or not, in a natural way the tree grows, isn't it? On which you have no control over it. The tree will continue to grow, and eventually the tree will come out with flowers, fruits, everything, and eventually it will die and go. Exactly like that, around you, your body is growing, and it will grow up and take some shape, and eventually it will start decaying, and eventually it will die and go. If you start thinking like that, Krishna says that you will avoid a lot of unhappiness in life. Due to this attachment to this body for several lifetimes, what we have created, Krishna says, you are feeling this distress in life. And he also gives an example that you can understand this in your own life. As soon as you go into deep sleep state, Krishna says, where is your attachment to the body? It doesn't exist. Because body is not there in the deep sleep state, isn't it? The body isn't there. So, straight away, your attachment to the body has also gone, whether you like it or not. That suppose you want to be in the bodily identity, in deep sleep, it's not possible. Isn't it? As soon as you go into deep sleep, the first thing what happens is that you are in another world, whether the existence of the body itself is unknown to you. at that time. Mm-hmm. So deep sleep is pointing out to us that there is a state possible that without the body also. And similarly in the dream state, when you are, which you are experiencing with the mind, that that also goes away as you go into deep sleep. So mind, body, these are upadhis. That is just there. Due to karma vasana, karmam, we have created these things around us. Now, also the, you know, when they put the anesthetic, just an injection is enough, bodily identity is gone straight away. Isn't it? So how quick it is, how quick the body can leave you, it shows that. How quickly the body can leave you. That similarly, Krishna is saying here, if you just accept that I am not this body, if you accept that, that's enough. Krishna says that itself is a big thing. On its own it grows, it took birth on its own, it will grow on its own, and it will die on its own. So you have no control of any of these things. That, and in order to explain this, Krishna gives the example in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when Yadu Maharaj met Dattatreya Maharshi, he talked about 24 spiritual masters, isn't it? Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, Apam, Agni, Chandraman, Ravi, Kapodam, Ajagara, Sindhu, Madhugar, Gaja, Madhuha, Harino, Meena, Pingala, Kuraram, Arbhaga. That Kuraram, Kuraram is a bird, a small little bird. This little bird, what happened to that bird was, when it was looking for food, somewhere it found a little bit of piece of flesh. So it's only a small bird, very small bird. When it got this small piece of flesh, it thought that if I take this small piece of flesh to my cage, into my net, I can have this food for a few days. This was in that bird's mind, or bird was thinking like that. As much as the bird picked up this little bit of piece of flesh, some other bigger birds, crows and all that, saw that. So they started chasing this bird for that piece of flesh. And for a long time, this small bird tried to escape from the bigger birds. But eventually the small bird realized that I cannot escape from these bigger birds. They are going to fight with me. So, and this bird was on its own, one small bird, and there were 8 or 10 big crows trying to chase the bird. So at that point, the small bird thought, in order to save myself, the best thing to, for me to do is to leave this small piece of flesh in my mouth. It said like that and left it there. When it left there, all the crows went after the piece of meat. By doing that, that bird escaped from the attack of this crows. So, in the same way, different kinds of distresses are coming and attacking us because I've got this body. Isn't it? Because I have the body, these distresses are coming to me through the body. And they are and the mind as well. So if I leave the mind and the body totally, they cannot attack me anymore. This is the principle. The principle is like this. Not that I go and fight with all these distresses, what is coming to me. If you take that approach, you'll be fighting the whole life and you may not win at the end. So this is how Krishna wants us to understand that like the bird left that piece of flesh and escaped from all the distress what that piece of flesh was going to cause. In the same way, if you leave your attachment to the body and the mind, those distresses which are coming to you throughout your lifetime, which is only related to the body and mind, they are not attacking your soul, are they? None of this distress, if you look at Adhyatmam, Adhibaudhyam, Adhidevigam, none of them attack your soul. They are all relationship with the mind and the body. So Krishna says, if you leave the mind and the body on its own, none of them can attack you. And you have to leave like the bird left that piece of flesh. To think that this body is of no use to me, I'm not this body, and I'm leaving this body for the distress to come and play with it in any way, whichever way it likes. And that will happen anyway. But what normally, because we don't think in these ways, in these lines, as soon as we get a little disturbed in our mind over the body or the mind, we are very much suffering due to that. The suffering starts, isn't it? Somewhere or the other, the suffering happens. So, Krishna says here that some misunderstanding is there, he says. Misunderstanding is like this. For example, that we all don't want to be active all the time. We want like to be relaxed, isn't it? Everybody likes to be relaxed. Generally, I'm saying this is the nature. If you tell people that be relaxed, don't get involved in anything, be peaceful in life with things, they think it's an abnormal state, isn't it? It's an abnormal state. Many people feel like that. Krishna disagrees with that theory. Krishna says that your constitutional nature is not to do anything, not to be busy. The nature of the soul is not to be busy all the time, 24 hours running around madly, here and there. That is not the nature of the soul. And you can also see that our individual nature is that somebody tells you something nicely about you, you feel happy about it. And that is, you are accepting that, isn't it? You easily accept that. And if somebody obstructs your independence, you are not happy about that. You also want certain freedom in life, to do certain things the way you like it. So, Krishna's point is that in these situations, what's normally happening is, the soul on its own has its own characteristics. And because it is mixed up with the body, there is problem. It is mixed up with the body. That is where the problems are coming from. If you have separated the soul and the body within yourself, these problems wouldn't happen. You will be able to transcend them, in other words. That means happiness and distress would not touch you. You will be able to stay in a very stable situation. And this is required for spiritual life. That is the first point Krishna is making here. Krishna says here, that the identification with the body develops into kartratvam. Kartratvam means I am the doer, isn't it? I am the doer will come from that. So in order that this identity with the body to go, you will also notice, Krishna says, you practice it in this way, that I am not this body. If you identify in that way with the body, that this I am the doer also will go away from you in course of time. I am the doer will also go. Otherwise, because of the bodily identity, I am the doer is very strong in us. Kartrutva bodham is very much strong in us. Krishna even points out that if you just leave this identity, I am the doer, it goes away from you, then it doesn't require much to know that you are spirit soul. It doesn't require a lot of effort to realize that. The kartrutvarahidam. Kartrutvarahidam means the state when you are not the doer. That is my normal state. Normal state is like that. I am not the doer. This statement in English that idle mind is a devil's workshop, isn't it? It's a statement like that. Now, it may be true in a very basic level, that statement. But that statement is not true in relationship with the soul. If you accept that statement as absolute, what will happen is, you will notice people become very restless because they are always fearful of their own mind. People are fearful of their own mind. Oh, I'm not doing anything. And as soon as this, immediately you get up, straight away. Then you start thinking, and you'll find something to do. This is not the proper state of consciousness, what is required. Proper state, we should be able to sit unaffected and undisturbed by anything what goes on in this world. That is a better state than all the time doing something. And when there is no spiritual culture, when there is no spiritual culture, the tendency is to blame others. If somebody is sitting quietly, peacefully, you go and disturb him also. Tell him, why you are sitting like this? You're not doing anything like this. This is madness. Because that person is mad, he wants to drive everybody else mad. And this problem is in the temple also. I'm telling you. I have experienced that. That's what I'm saying. If you sit quietly and start reading something, thinking about it, says, oh, you're not cleaning anything. The whole staircase needs cleaning. Toilets needs cleaning. Vegetables to be cut. and endless services, as they call it, gives to you. And they keep you busy in this way whole life, so you don't think anything further. Because only if you start because they also know, the people who are doing it, they also know they've got a problem with their mind. They can't control their mind. So they are fearful. If I'm not doing something, I'm not properly situated, they say. No, you are properly situated if you are not doing anything. First thing is, we have to understand this, that peace within is much more important than all your so-called devotional service. Devotional service is not a madness. Devotional service comes out of love. It's not something forced upon you. If it is forced upon you, it's not devotional service. And you are doing it out of fear inside, and then it makes it worse. It becomes worse. So Krishna is saying here that the important point is, your love can only develop if there is peace within. And this peace comes from the understanding that I am not this body. All these things requires deeper realization inside. It won't happen automatically like this, unless you spend time on these thoughts. And that's why it is stressed about this point, that body and the mind, and able to sit peacefully for some time in life is an important thing. It helps to withdraw from this world and to be situated within the self. Even if a lot of thoughts comes through, doesn't matter, eventually they will also subdue themselves. But to be able to sit peacefully is a important, is a necessity in life to develop spiritually. Otherwise it will simply become a continuous struggle against the mind. You are continuously struggling against the mind. You don't know how much people are fearful about their own mind more than the fear of the rest of the world. Because they know that the mind, once it starts asuric nature in us, the demonic nature inside, the mind will control you completely. And your success is in how keeping that mind under control, not going along with the mind, not listening to the mind. That is not a very successful situation. Kaumaram yavanam jara, Krishna says, kartrutrahita sthiti. So, when we control the mind, Krishna says, what will happen is, you will start sensing something is inside. And since a lot of thoughts are coming through, in between the thoughts, the swarupam, the true nature of the soul, will start coming out. We have never given an opportunity for any of these things in life. We were never given, nor we have taken it. We simply were driven by the rest of the world. World is telling us that this is how we should do all the time. Busy, 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 busy. Goes on whole time. And then at the end of the life, you start thinking, I've been busy with all these things in my life. What has happened now? Nothing has happened. Except that a lot of happiness and distress I carried all my life. So, at least in the youth, Kapila Vasudev says there that this knowledge of the soul should get in somehow. And that is why so much spoken about Atma in the Bhagavadam. Atma is stressed about this very much, for one this reason only. Then that we go through this kind of state. And When the identification goes from the body, then this transformation also does not bother you anymore. These changes that is happening also does not bother you anymore. Does not bother you anymore. So, all the great acharyas, when they have spoken to the Supreme Lord, they have expressed this in some time or the other, that please control my mind. This will be their prayer to Krishna. It is like a monkey sitting inside. I'll hand over this monkey and its rein to you. You control this monkey. You hold this rein in your hand and you control this monkey inside who is sitting me. We also have to recognize this. There is a monkey inside. And this monkey, who is, monkey means, you know, monkey's nature. What is monkey's nature? Monkey's nature, if you look, especially who has been to Vrindavan, you'll see what monkey is like. It won't sit in one place. It will jump from one branch to another and always into mischief. Isn't it? If you're walking with the glasses on, it'll take the glass and they'll go. if you are carrying some food with you, it'll come and snatch the food and it'll go. Simply, it has to create some mischief. Monkey nature, as it's called, isn't it? So this monkey nature is very much there in the mind also. Now, if you try to... sorry. So the best thing is to hand over this mind to Krishna. Let Krishna control the mind. And if you allow the mind to engage in Krishna's, in glorifying Krishna or chanting the holy name, the possibility is that mind will eventually come under control. So here, what happens is, angangalidam phalidam tundam. There is a statement like this. Dashana vihinam jadam tundam. Vridhoyadi grihitva dandam tadamana munchari ashapindam. This is a verse from the Bhajagovindam prayers. One of the verses. There's about 30 verses in the Bhajagovindam. This is one of those verses. Angangalidam phalidam tundam. That body is wearing out. It gets worn out one day. Then dashana vihinam jadam tundam. The head is all goes grey. Head goes grey. And then vridhoyadi grihitva dandam. After the mouth is losing all its teeth also. The teeth also goes away. These are how that change is happening. And the old man, he is walking with a stick. So all these changes has happened to him. Angangalidam bhalidam tundam. That the the body has become very... body is worn out very much. In other words, the teeth have started falling off, the hair has turned grey, and the old age has come and attacked, and with the result that even to walk you need this dandam. Not the sannyasi dandam, the dandam what the old man, everybody calls danda one day, isn't it? Whether you are a grihastha or a sannyasi. Sannyasi gets a danda much earlier, but householder, grihastha also gets a danda, only thing it's not that long as the other one is. So you get the danda and you are walking, isn't it? But Krishna says here, tatabina munjadi asha pindam. Only one thing that has not changed inside. What is that? The bag of desires inside. That is staying still. That has not left him. Tatabina munjadi asha pindam. So this asha pindam inside is something that is not changing. So when it comes to that situation, it says here that Ayur Nashyadi Pashyadam. That Ayus, the lifespan is running out, and he is seeing this also. Then Pradidinam, day by day, this lifespan is running out. Yadikshayam Yavanam, the youth is also going away. All this he is seeing this day by day. Either he is thinking, I can't do anything about it, so what shall I do? He stops there and then he is trying to adjust with the body still. He's trying to adjust with the body still. Pratyayanti gada punarna divasa kalo jagal rakshaga. That the control of this time is not in our hands. Jagad rakshaga. It is in Krishna's hands. What does Krishna do? He controls our life through this what is known as kala chakram. Krishna's Sudarshana disc, what is represented as Sudarshanam, is actually this Kala Chakram. When Krishna started turning that wheel in the hand, if you see in the Vishnu's hands, the fourth disc, as soon as the disc started turning, the wheel of time has started. When Krishna stops that disc, which never stops, the time also carries on. So, Pratyayanti gata punarna divasa kalo jagal rakshaga. That Jagat Kalam is under his control. It's not in our control. Through this cycle, through this wheel, Krishna is controlling our change of bodies that is happening to us. Then Lakshmi Toya Taranga Manga Chabala Vidyadvanam Jividam. Lakshmi Toya Taranga Mangala Manga Lakshmi Toya Taranga Anga Chabala Vidyul Jalam Jividam. Life is something like a lightning. It comes and stays for some time. How long the lightning lasts? Similarly, he says here that this body also, it only lasts for such a short time. Tasmatvam sharanagadam sharanada tvam raksha rakshadhuna. Therefore, the only shelter, Acharya says there, that is to take the shelter of that person who is turning this wheel from behind. So, अच्छा धन्यवाद. So in the short span of time, what we have got only to do this one thing. There is nothing else to be done. If we see from that position, Acharyas are thinking like this. They are saying to us that you have got only a very short period of time. Why waste all this time in maintaining this body which is temporary and trying to acquire possessions in this world and get absorbed in this? Rather, why not take shelter of that person who is making these changes within you? Or in other words, the body which is changing due to this wheel of time that is moving away. So, here, one thing to remember is that this states what we discussed. What is that? Kaumaram, Yavanam, Jaram. They are all called Avastha. Avastha means a state of existence, isn't it? A state of existence. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti is also like that. It's a state of existence. Kaumaram, Yavanam, Jara, they are also state of existence. Realized condition is not a state. This must be very clear in our head. We are thinking that one day I will reach that state, but it's not a state. It is not a state. It is what we are, actually. We are supposed to be that. It's not a state anymore. Once you've reached that state, then you don't come back to the state's business anymore. And that means Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti finishes. Kaumaram Yavanam Jara finishes with that. So these are called states or avastha. In Shastram it's called avastha. But realized condition, or we call it as realized state, isn't it? But it's not a state. Atma Sakshalkaram. Sakshalkaram means that you are what you are actually, you have reached that position. From there, no more coming back to the other states. States are only temporary, whereas realized condition is permanent. States are only temporary. Realized state is permanent. It's not a state. That's an important thing Krishna points out here. Then, as I mentioned, that the so if you accept it, then there won't be any resistance inside. Just like youth, we accept happily, isn't it? Without any objection, we accept. Children wants to grow up and become young. But young man doesn't want to become old. That's interesting. Young man doesn't want to become old. Why? Because then he has to start his decorations in the body, isn't it? Dyeing the hair and putting new sets of teeth and all the facials and all kinds of things people do, isn't it? All this is required. Why? Because of the adjustment you are trying to make with the old age. You are trying to make the adjustments with the old age. But what does Krishna do at that time? Krishna makes a fun of us at that time, isn't it? When we start doing this, Krishna starts making fun. First he makes all the hair to fall. So we try with the wig and all that kind of things, isn't it? Then he pulls your teeth off. Then you go and get the artificial teeth. Then again Krishna looks at us. Look at this man. He doesn't want to give up his attachment to the body. So he gives you something little stronger than that. So little by little Krishna injects this. This is Krishna's way of doing. And we are fighting against Krishna's plan. This is what we are doing. Krishna's plan is that you realize this, that this has only happened to you for your body, and come to this understanding and free yourself from attachment to your body. But what do? We go the opposite way. We think that I have to adjust all these things and I'm working against the nature. Nature means Krishna. Krishna is the nature. You just work. I work against the nature. So, that similarly, therefore what we'll do, we'll go against it and try to operate in a different way. So Krishna says here that don't try to push the old age away. Don't try to push the old age away. Then if you accept it, it will give you some peace within the old age without protesting against that. But whatever you go against, resistance, if you try to resist something, it will give you distress. It will give you distress. For whom old age is good? Krishna says that also. For whom the old age is a happy state? One who has got tapas in life, one who has executed austerities and penances, for him the old age is a very happy state as far as Krishna is concerned. Remember, I mentioned this story before also. that when Ramachandra and Lakshmana was in the forest with Sita Devi, Shurpanaka came there. Remember, Shurpanaka came to see Ramachandra. And you know, Shurpanaka was dressed up very nicely. She took the body of a female human form and dressed up nicely. And with the lipstick and paint and everything, like the way they dress up. So she dressed up like that and came and saw Ramachandra. When Ramachandra saw her, Ramachandra smiled in a very ridiculing way. He smiled at her, seeing, and told Lakshmana, look at this, how she has dressed up and come to me. Ramachandra, if you remember Ramachandra's early days in Ayodhya, Vasishtha Maharshi tells Ramachandra, now you are understood the truth about this world. And it is after that he was sent to the forest. Later he went to the forest. So Ramachandra's early days, if you look, he went around, found distress everywhere, came back. When he came back, Vasishtha Maharshi gives him instructions about the spiritual knowledge. It is through Vasishtha he takes the spiritual instructions. Ramachandra takes spiritual instructions from Vasishtha. And that is what Yoga Vasishtha is all about. The famous literature Yoga Vasishtha has come from that. So when Ramachandra understood the message, of course Krishna is playing in that role, no doubt about that. But Vasishtha Maharshi has to do this in the human nature form. He has to follow the rules of this world. So Vasishtha Maharshi instructed Ramachandra about this. And Ramachandra says, now everything is clear to me. And Vasishtha says to him, now you can go and do anything in this world. It will not bother you. You will not be affected by that. And that's how he takes up the administration. He was instructed to take the administration from Dasharatha. So this Ramachandra, in this state of consciousness, he is seeing Shurpanaka like this and says to Lakshmana, look at this lady. She has come fully dressed up like this. He didn't find any beauty in her because everything was so artificial she has presented to him. He did not find her beautiful. In spite of that, she was very well dressed up. See, and he mentioned this to Lakshmana. And the same Ramachandra, much later, on their way to Sri Lanka, they saw Shabari, isn't it? They saw Shabari. And how did Shabari look like? Shabari was very old. All the face, everything has gone. The skin has lost its freshness. And the hair has gone completely like silver colored linings all over. More actually silver colored everything. And Ramachandra says to Lakshmana at that time about Shabari, look at Shabari, how beautiful she is. He says, so what is Ramachandra seeing there? Ramachandra is seeing in that person the spiritual happiness that's emanating from her. Whereas with Shurpanaka, he was just seeing the lust and her nature of trying to go resist the change the body and trying to adjust with the body. Whereas Shabari, she has left her attachment to the body and she is growing on a spiritual plane. And that's Ramachandra noticed and mentioned this to Lakshmana at that time. Then when one person Ramachandra saw, he made fun of her. And another person, when he saw her, who has no teeth in her mouth, Shabari didn't have any teeth even inside, it was all gone, Ramachandra says to Lakshmana, what a beautiful person she is. What a beautiful person she is. This is called the beauty of the soul. Beauty of the soul. Therefore, even at the old age, there is beauty in a person, provided he develops spiritually. There is a beauty in a person. Then, once we accept that, there is beauty of the soul, because old age is the time which gives an opportunity, a whole lifetime, to practice for the spiritual life. So due to practice the spiritual life, you become more beautiful in the old age rather than in the youth. And that's what Krishna says here, it will not affect you. And exactly like that, you have accepted old age in life. If you have accepted old age in that way, where is the difficulty in accepting death? That's Krishna's point. That somehow, if you have executed spiritual life throughout the life, if you have executed spiritual activities, and if you have performed austerities and penances, you develop a certain kind of beauty at the old age, which is related to the soul, not to the body. Bodily beauty is not important, but the spiritual beauty will come out. And what is that spiritual beauty? Spiritual beauty is this, that instead of resisting against the change of body from youthhood to old age, which you didn't resist, because of the resistance only, distress develops inside. If you don't resist, the old age will come, but even through the old age, you will be happy because of the sadhana you have performed and spiritual life you have lived. And due to that, what will happen at the old age is that you will not have this resistance for accepting old age. The fear of old age, all these things will go away from inside. And as much you are able to accept the old age, you will be happy to accept death also, without any resistance. Able to accept death also without any resistance. What is stopping all the time? We are fighting in this world against many things all the time, isn't it? Fighting against the society, fighting against the body, fighting against the weather conditions. If everything becomes a fight in life, whole life you are fighting, fighting, fighting. And in that fighting process, you wear out at the end. You are worn out at the end. And that is how old age becomes a problem for us. So Krishna is giving a certain clue to act in such a way that this fighting can stop. So the first clue what he gave us was, you have to deal with people in this world all the time. If you start thinking Ishavasyam idam sarvam, then you won't have resistance from the people. See, this word Ishavasyam idam sarvam has two meanings. If you look at the commentary in Ishavasyam, Prabhupada's commentary, Prabhupada mentions there about that Ishavasyam idam sarvam means everything belongs to Krishna, isn't it? That is how it's translated there. That yat kinchat jagatyam jagat tena tektena bunjida magrida kasya siddharam. If you accept this one understanding, that everything belongs to Krishna, that the whole creation, what has come out, tena tektvena bunjida, enjoy it by sacrificing it, not possessing it, not owning it. If you do that, magrida kasya siddhinam, to do it in such a way, fully knowing very well to whom it all belongs to. You will see the translation in Prabhupada's commentary. That, so first thing he says here, lose your grip on the worldly objects. Lose your grip, attachment to it, not to possess it. That is a very high instruction. It's coming from a great sage. First verse in the Ishavanishad, isn't it? Ishavasyam idam sarvam. So that is one understanding of these Upanishad verses have got several meanings. And if you start looking at it, you will wonder how the rishis have managed to pack so much into one verse. It's unbelievable, the amount of knowledge that is coming through these verses to us. So that is one meaning, Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Everything belongs to Krishna. Yat kinchat jagatyam jagat tena tektena bunjida magrida kasya siddhanam. That nothing belongs to me, everything belongs to Krishna. If you, in this consciousness, if you live in this world, you won't suffer. It is from this consciousness that all the Vedic mantras have come. When they perform the yajna sacrifices, when they offer the havis or the offering into the fire, the mantram chanted is Agnaye namas, Agnaye swaha idam na mama. Agni, the fire god, please accept this, it is not mine. For every mantra you chant, you say idam na mama, it's not mine, it's not mine. So to get out of this kartrutva buddhi and mine, me and mine, to get out of this, even the mantras are structured in that way. The mantram is also structured in that way. Idam na mama, idam na mama, idam na mama. They keep repeating. Every time they offer the ghee into the fire. Agnaye swaha idam na mama. This is the mantra. So, the way that is explained, it is mentioned like coming back to that verse, Ishavasyam idam sarvam. One meaning like that. Second meaning, Acharya says, Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Isha, Krishna, is living in everyone. Vasya means to live. So Krishna lives in everybody. If you accept that, then your resistance to other living entities also will go away. from inside. Our resistance to other living entities also will go away a lot, to a large degree, because you have started recognizing that person as Krishna's part and parcel. Isn't it? When you don't recognize somebody else as a part and parcel of Krishna, you feel a little resistance builds up inside. And then it becomes very strong inside the feelings. So become relaxed in that way with the world outside, with the people. Then Krishna talks to us about this body, how we should handle this. Krishna says, changes that is happens to the body is unavoidable. That is the nature of this body. Soul, he is independent, he doesn't change. You are actually the soul. So try to release your connection from this body also by understanding that I am not this body. Body is not mine. Body belongs to material nature. I belong to Krishna. I am part and parcel of Krishna. So the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. So I am not to be concerned about material nature. Material nature's part is this body. So give up that connection with the body as well in the same way. And Krishna says here that if you can leave this attachment, and then what will happen is that if you develop these thoughts inside, one day the body will leave you in a very sadantram. Sadantram means in a very free way. It will leave you freely. It will leave you and go. But if you try to hold it back, it will leave you anyway, but you will suffer more. That is the technique Krishna is giving to us. That if you hold on to the body, thinking that it's mine, the body is going to go anyway, but what will happen is, it will only give you a lot of distress. That's the only profit you'll get out of it. Nothing else. But if you really relax and release that grip on the body, Krishna says, it will go independently. It will leave you in a happy way that you will not get disturbed over it with the body, in a happy state. And if that happens, you will not be fearful about death also. You know that many of the problems what we create is our own creation. Like, when the bodily, if you keep on increasing the bodily attachment, NHS has to grow. Isn't it? You have to spend more money on NHS. They are not seeing where the problem is coming. You have injected some false knowledge into people's mind. Have you had injected this understanding about the body to people properly, this attachment will, because the philosophy is centered around the body so strongly, that they have to. And they also know very well that the body has to go one day. The people who are developing these health services, whether it's in America, whether it is in Europe or elsewhere, you start thinking, what is their understanding of their themselves, isn't it? I mean, these are people supposed to be the most intelligent in the world, coming from the best universities and spend all their life and very proud of their knowledge. Krishna is saying even this very basic thing, then they are not able to come to terms with it. They are resisting that all the time. Isn't it? See all the fuss going in America about this healthcare they're talking about, isn't it? You know what's going on there, that there's not enough money and healthcare is very expensive in America and people are frightened to go to America because of this healthcare business. There's no NHS or anything, and president says we want to have the same for everybody, you know, and there's big issues going on, you know, which if you read the paper you'll see all these things. What I'm saying is that the solution they are seeking is also on a wrong level. Their solution is like this, that get more medicine, more doctors, more nurses, pump everything and continue the ignorance, as I'm not going to change, but I have to control my body. So Krishna's point is, don't try to control the body. But understand the body situation is like this. Whatever you may do, at the end body will leave you. And if you adjust your inside, that means if you realize the self properly, then this connection with the body will go and you will not suffer. Sometimes the way they speak about it is that if this NHS is not there, the whole world is going to fall apart. If you go into India and see thousands and thousands of people without any NHS, without any health care. They sit there, they live in this world, and they also leave this world one day. So, and the anxiety they create in people's mind and the system is too much. It's only helping you to increase the bodily concept of life, nothing else. That's how they developed the knowledge in this world. Whole world is under the grip of this understanding, whereas Krishna is pointing out to us, make your life easier, make it very simple. Don't get attracted by all this glamour of the body. And if you leave that grip on the body, you will save yourself a lot of distress. That is the point Krishna is making. That we find also difficult to leave the body, isn't it? We find it difficult only when somebody tells us, oh, you have to leave the body, then the resistance builds up inside. So Krishna is pointing out that one important point, that dhira satrana mukhyadi. He says dhira is a person who is very, he, Krishna calls this dhira, that person is that who can leave his body in a very peaceful mind, with a peaceful mind. Krishna says he will not be frightened about that. For him, death is not a fear. Death is not a fear. After saying this, Krishna moves on to the next verse. Krishna moves on to the next verse. So, just before going into that, we saw, first told us about the soul. Krishna said, that is the state you should be, which is nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayora vidrashtuandam stanayor tattva darshavi. Realized soul have reached that platform, and they want us to be in that platform. Nasade vidyade bhavo. Then Krishna said, the problem there that you are in this state, which is this bodily identity. Once you are in the bodily identity, this is the way you come out of that body. Constantly talking to us that I am not this body, body is not mine, this body is of no use to me. If you accept the point that body is not mine, then you will not spend your energy unnecessarily for maintaining this body. I am not this body, body is not mine, body is not of any use to me also. One day the body will leave, isn't it? You see, people sometimes misunderstand, oh, I need this body for my devotional service, isn't it? No, devotional service doesn't mean that you have to become a pahalwan all the time, full of strength and energy. This doesn't require devotional service, all that. Devotional service you do with the body what you have got. You don't have to generate another new strong body to do devotional service. This is another, that is only increasing your bodily concept of life. You are not meant to be in bodily concept of life. If you engage in devotional service thinking that I need a very strong and healthy body, every year I should go for a retreat in some Ayurvedic resort and get treated for 41 days and come back in another 6 months rest so that I can do some devotional service because of that. That's not devotional understanding. That's not a very good spiritual understanding. That is that because you're still very attached to your body, you want to maintain your body using devotional service as an excuse for that. That's what it is. Devotional service, what you have to do with the body what you have got. You don't have to go beyond than that to do the devotional service. This is only a misunderstanding in our many cases. This is what happens. It's something interesting to watch sometimes, our own devotees, how much they get affected by the... They are more in the bodily concept than ordinary people outside. Often you notice that, the way they talk about the body, their attachment to the body is so strong that they think that the fear inside, the mind, because they never had time to think about any of these things, there's also fear inside, what will happen tomorrow. So after speaking all these things, Krishna is pointing out to us, body is like this. This is the nature of the body. And Kaumaram, Yavanam, Jara, all these changes are happening. The easiest way to live in that situation is to accept what it is as it is given to you. Just learn to accept it as it has come to you. And don't get identified with it. That is the way to escape from that. Not by repairing the body. No matter how much you repair the body, it's not going to stay. That is the absolute thing. Isn't it? Absolute fact it is. So Kaumaram, Yavanam, Jara, let it comes and goes. You are not affected by. Stay on the spiritual platform. That is Krishna's advice to us. Identify with the soul and live on that level rather than coming down to the bodily level. तदा देहांतर प्राप्तिर धीरस्तोत्रानं मुह्यति. Krishna says, if you practice it like that, what will happen is you will be able to accept everything what comes in life happily without protesting. You won't be fighting against it. That when the old age comes, you won't fight against it. You will say it is happening to the body. It is Krishna's rule is like that. It will happen. But when you fall into bodily identity, you suffer straight away. You are suffering only because of bodily identification, nothing else. And even the very wealthy people who have tried to maintain the body, eventually they had to give in at the end, isn't it? Very, very rich people with a lot of money behind, and they tried everything and to keep this body functioning. Eventually they had to surrender. There's no choice. Even yogis, you can extend it sometimes, your lifespan, by some degree, by yogic practices. Like if you see, there are many, many yogis who have lived a little longer. But eventually they also have to give up the body. There are so many stories mentioned in the Bhagavadam as well as in the Ramayanam also about some yogis who have lived a longer period of time due to yogic practices. They managed to sustain their body. But the reality, the truth is, ultimately you have to surrender your body. You have no choice. So Krishna is asking, is it not more intelligent that you come to terms with it very early in life and adjust your mind along with that, rather than constantly fighting and eventually losing it? The way to escape from this is, Krishna says, that you detach yourself from the connection with the body within inside and come to this realization, I'm not this body, body is not mine, body is of no use to me, and develop that consciousness strongly inside, whereby you don't have to suffer. That eventually, like the old age come, you happily accept it. Similarly, when death comes also, you can happily accept that. You don't have to fight against it. So this is what is coming through these two verses now. Now in the next verse, Krishna is going to talk about something more, while how to adjust these situations. Verse number 13, verse number 14, yes. I'll read out the verse. Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Shitoshna sukha dukkhada. Agamapayino nitya. Tamti dikshasva bharata. Once again. Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Shitoshna sukha dukkhada. Agamapayino nitya. Tamti dikshasva bharata. Matras prashastu kaunteya. Shitoshna sukha dukkhada. Agamapayino anityaha tamti dikshasva bharata. Whenever, before going to that verse, whenever we want to have some clarity on these issues related to body, mind, everything, we should take instructions from Krishna, not from the world outside. Outside world may not give you always the right direction. That is important point. That Krishna will tell you, that's why I'm saying always, that if you study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, you will never regret in life. If you study all other books, what others have written, one day you may suffer. You will never know. Because here, Krishna's clarity, what Krishna has spoken, is from a spiritual, purely from a spiritual angle. This is why even Uddhava said to Krishna that I don't see anybody else who can instruct me about the soul who is situated on a spiritual platform completely. Even he says Lord Brahma and Shiva cannot do that except you. Addressing Krishna, Uddhava said this, isn't it? Satyasya de sudrasham altmanam altmanvanyam vaktaramesha vibhudesho vinanichakshe sarve vimohidadiyaha tavamayeme brahmadeyasthanibhurdo bhiravta bhava. That verse in the Bhagavadam. There Uddhava said to Krishna that it's only you who can tell us this truth exactly as it is without any compromise on that. Why? Because you are the soul. And a person who is the soul only can talk about the soul, Krishna. So from there you can see that from whom you take instructions is important. whether you take instructions from Krishna or you take instructions from someone else, people will give you all information, or which will not really give you the solution to the problem. And here Krishna is saying here, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukadukhada, then fight and win this battle with the power of knowledge. Tam tidikshasu bharada. Krishna says, with the help of the knowledge, Bharata, with the help of the knowledge, you should win over happiness and distress. You should win over happiness and distress. Krishna is saying here, I'll give you a secret about this. Krishna is telling us some secrets about life. And if you understand all these secrets properly, and just in the Vedanta philosophy, these secrets are important. Because once you understand, and if you are reflective on these secrets, then it will give you that strength to deal with the world. People live in this world happily, not purely by accumulating wealth and fighting against all the problems of this world. People live in this world in different ways. And they are also equally happy. There are many spiritually advanced people who don't have a lot of money, but whose state of happiness is much more than people who have got a lot of money. Yeah, how did that happen? Because they learned this art of controlling their mind and have proper knowledge inside. With that, the problem was gone. Problem is completely gone. Many learned personalities, but they don't do big jobs or big businesses. They are not managing directors, chief executives. They don't have millions of pounds every year on bonus or anything like that. These people who are on millions of pounds on bonus, they are not happy. In spite of that. But these people who are able to be happy in life and peaceful within themselves is only due to the knowledge what they took from Bhagavad Gita. They have accepted it. Therefore, they escape from all the trouble in life. How did they accept it? When Krishna says here, matra, the power of that. Matra means, matra. Matra means what you know from with the mind. With the mind. That is matra. What you measure with the mind. That is mantra. Sparsha means what you know with the senses. Matra means what you know with the mind. Sparsha means what you know with the senses. So Krishna says here, the nature of the mind is like this, always interpreting things, isn't it? Always interpreting things. Suppose you had some experience before, mind will interpret based on this and tell you that it has happened like this in the past, so I should be careful about that in the future. Like this, some interpretation will happen within the mind. Isn't that's the nature of the mind? So similarly, when indriya or senses are dealing with the sense objects, mind interprets inside. Mind is doing the interpretation. So sparsham or the sensual touch, indriyas, when indriyam or senses are in relationship with the sense objects, the mind is interpreting inside. Mind does the interpretation. Interpretation means, do you know what I'm saying, isn't it? That it is judging and inside and making some conclusions on that based on the experience through the senses. So, matra sparshastu kaundeya. Krishna says to Arjuna, this mind and the senses, they have this business going on constantly. Matra sparshastu kaunteya. So when sparsham, when the senses are in touch with the sense objects, mind which is doing matra, which is doing actually the mind, with the mind it knows. So what comes through the senses inside, when it is known to the mind, it is called matra. You know what I'm saying? That something, senses have gone in and touched something. And senses are experiencing, but when it affects you inside, it is called matra. Because it has come into the mind now. Initially it came into the senses, then it has come to the mind. So, matra sparshastu kaunteya. This is the duty of the mind, this matra business. That it will keep on measuring things through the senses. It will keep on measuring the things through the senses. So, sparshaha. Sheetam, ushnam, sukham, dukham. There are four things mentioned there, isn't it? Sheetoshna, sukha, dukkada. So, sheetam and ushnam, Krishna says here, Shidam and Ushnam, which means cold and heat, isn't it? Cold and heat. All these things are happening due to sparsham, due to connection with that. The touching or connection with the particular thing, cold or heat. It's only when you come into contact with that, you feel that, isn't it? Shidoshnam. So Krishna says here that the only thing you can do in that situation is that to realize they don't last forever. It only lasts for some time. If it is now cold weather comes, it will be there for another 5 or 6 months, you will experience this cold. So in your inside, if you come to this depth of understanding, that this is only going to be there for a few months, it will go after that. And then the summer will come. And when the summer comes, you also think again that it's only going to be a few months and then the winter will come. What Krishna wants us to do there is, don't try to enjoy when the summer comes, he says. And don't feel miserable when the winter comes either. This is the technique Krishna is talking about. It is an important point. We'll tell you why. Because exactly like heat and cold has come and affected our mind, sukham and dukkham, happiness and distress also is like that. Nobody is in distress throughout life, is it? And nobody is in happy state also throughout life. It is cyclical. Sukham comes, it will stay sometime, sukham will go. Dukkham comes, it will stay sometime, dukkham also will go. Happiness and distress will also come and go. Exactly like Krishna says here, like the weather. Happiness, shidam and ushnam, comes, goes. Sukham, dukkham, comes and goes. So if you know this thing that it is changing, that is what you have to take note of. That it is not what you have to take note of, oh, it is cold now. That's what we take note of first, isn't it? That it's cold now. But Krishna says, that is not what you should take note of. You should take note of this one important thing, that it will change. That is most all the time should be in your head, he says. You should keep this in your head all the time, that it will change. It will not stay. If you take that attitude, Krishna says, that mind won't get too much affected with that. Of course, in the beginning it will be there. But in due course of time, you will be able to withdraw from the dualities of this world. These are all the dualities of this world. Happiness, distress, heat and cold, and day and night, like that, man and woman. All these things, we have duality, isn't it, while dealing with all the different things. So in order for to free yourself from the duality, or the dvandvam, they call it dvandvam. In order to free from the duality, you should accept this fundamental point that change is there. There is a change. Change is not change we can, that's another thing. But change will be there in everyone's life. So if you recognize that, Krishna says here that there will not be cold weather all the time. But can you tolerate what will happen? Does that mean that the cold will go away? No, cold won't go away. Krishna says tidiksha. Practice tidiksha. Tam tidikshasva bharata. To the extent what is necessary, you should protect the body. So that because you have not reached that state yet of able to tolerate everything, you, according to your tolerance level, tidiksha, you should look after the body. The heating or cooling, what you have to do for living in this world. The Krishna says here that without complaint, tolerate it. Without complaint, tolerate it. And that is important. Chinda vilabarehidam. If you start complaining all the time, Krishna says tolerance won't develop inside. Tolerance won't develop inside. I know it is very difficult when we live in conditions like this in the world we are today. It is a very difficult thing because everything is structured and controlled so much from every side. They don't allow you to live a natural way of life. But the principle doesn't go away because of that. Like we can see sometimes when it rains heavily. When it doesn't rain, we keep saying, oh, it was no rain for so long. And then when it starts raining heavily, you see, so it's rained too much. So what do you do then? And then there is all this kind of, you know, environmental problems. This is all has happened because of our own intolerance with the nature. That these things have happened, isn't it? It's not the fault of Prakriti. Prakriti, as we have messed around with the Prakriti too much. and therefore it's happening, and then we are again making making solutions for that. Many times if you observe people, you will notice that those who are practicing spiritual life seriously and those who have taken this culture of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam very well, how tolerant they are in their life. You have to observe that also, how tolerant they are in their life. Because they live in villages, you see these people sometimes. How much they tolerate in this world. When the hot weather comes, especially in the summertime, when it is very, very hot, 42, 43 degrees C, they still sit there wearing a dhoti, and if it is extremely hot, they will take a cloth and start doing like this, like that, a bit relief temporarily for them. That's all they do it, nothing more than that. Why? They are tolerating it. They learn to tolerate things and they don't complain any time. Like that they live 60, 70 years in this world without any complaint about anything, weather conditions. Already it is hot, so if you yourself get hot inside with the body, then what will happen? So they have learned this technique of tolerating everything. So Krishna is also saying here that agam apayino anityam, they are anityam, they are temporary. That is the point important in that verse. Agamapayinu anityam, they are not permanent. Krishna stresses on this one point, always hold on to things which is permanent. Don't hold on to things which is temporary. Don't hold on to the body, it is temporary. Don't hold on to the weather conditions, it's temporary. Don't hold on to anything which is in the material world, it's all temporary. On a higher level, this is the realization we should have on a higher level. That's why in Ekadasya Skandam, when Krishna talks about, he bluntly puts it, Yadidam manaso vaja chakshubhyam sharanadabhi nashvaram. Nashvaram means temporary. Grihimanamcha, everything that you are experiencing, vidhi, maya manomayam, it's all the product of maya and the mind. Understand that, Uddhava, he says to Uddhava at that point. So if we have accepted this, then Krishna says life will become a lot easier. Krishna is trying to give us some clue how to make life very simple, not to make it too complicated. So, Matraspashastu Kaunteya, Shitoshna Sukha Dukkada, Shitam Ushnam Sukham Dukkham, they all come, they all go. Agam Apayinu Anityam. That coming and going is their nature. They are not going to stay. Now, Krishna says, look at the weather, how it comes and how it goes. Similarly, sukham dukham also comes and goes. It will not stay also. So this temporary nature, if that is realized in us, then they should not disturb you. This is Krishna's point. Why you are getting so much affected by something happened that is temporary in this world, which is not your nature anyway. So Krishna is trying to connect that with the soul. So so in many of the spiritually very realized persons, they never complain about weather any time, or it's too cold or it's too hot. They live life in this world accepting the changes that's happening in the nature. Now desire in us, when we go also to, we want to become comfortable everywhere, isn't it? As much comfortable as possible. We complain about Vrindavanam when we go there. Oh, it's too cold there. Or there's no central heating and there's no hot water supply, everything. No, the main thing, Krishna's point is that instead of putting central heating and hot water supply and everything, rather tolerate that and wait for the time when it's a little warmer to bathe. If you can't bathe in the, that is a real thing Krishna expects us to do. Rather than that, I need all the facilities before I can go for Mangalarati. I need a first class bathroom with hot water supply and everything facility. That is not the way it should be. The way it should be is, Krishna wants us in this way, that by adjusting your body and the mind properly and able to tolerate things and live a life like that is better than providing all kinds of facilities for the body and saying to everyone, I've been to Mangalarati this morning. That is not a sign of spiritual advancement. And in the modern spiritual life, ten seems to go in that direction rather than in the other direction. You can notice that. The whole modern spiritual life is all show and glory, everything. Not simple and not austerity. That is not spiritual life anymore. That spiritual life is finished now in this world. The modern spiritual life, if you observe carefully, you will notice that everything has to be top class. And I will also quote Prabhupada for that. This is the sad thing. They'll say, Prabhupada said like this, everything should be first class. So I should have a first class Bangalore right in the middle of the Vrindavan, where I have all the facilities so that I can practice my spiritual life. What is this? This is misunderstanding. This is not spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding is keep it to the very simple and tolerate everything and do what you can within that capacity. That is spiritual life, because at least you are becoming tolerant. In this way, if you practice spiritual life, what will happen is that you will never become spiritual. You will always be materialist, down and down, down and all the through and through. So that's why those who are presenting spiritual life in that way, and you can also see everything has to be very posh, done in a big way, that Rajogunam inside is that. That's what it is making all these things. And the more you keep away from such influences, it will give you some spiritual strength inside. Whereas if you allow to be driven by that, you will lose any spiritual strength, whatever little you have. You will think that's all spiritual life. That's what the impression you carry at the end. Isn't it? All this show what we does. But if you carefully observe people who are practicing spiritual life properly, you will notice they withdraw from all these things because they get a pleasure inside by able to deal with these dualities of this world. Dualities bring you misery. And able to deal with the duality is your success. Dvandvam. Shitam, Ushnam. Sukham, Dukham. Shitam and Ushnam is seasonal, isn't it? It's a season. It comes and goes. Krishna says, Sukham, Dukham is also a season. Prarabdham has also got its season. Prarabdham is also a season. It comes, it goes. So to go beyond that and to stay transcendental to it is our success in spiritual life. These are things which Krishna wants us to have before we talk about the soul. Soul he is going to discuss later. But prior to that, he wants us to gear up our own mind in this understanding properly. And modern spiritual life is not very helpful in these things. We have to admit that. It is not helping us. It's making it more complicated that way. That I need comforts, I need facilities, I need this, I need that before I can practice spiritual life. That is not what Krishna has mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is not saying anywhere that you have to increase your needs. Rather, he says to decrease your needs to practice spiritual life. If you feel that the cold weather is bothering you, don't stay in the cold weather too long. But at the same time, don't go and fight against this nature all the time, that only if I have all these facilities I can do. But you have to find a balanced situation where you can be peaceful within yourself, where you can practice spiritual life. That is what Krishna advises us to do. And this Matrasprashastu Kauntaya verse has come from that. That Krishna realizes this, that that when all these things are happening, your own identity with the soul can get stronger by doing these things. That is the benefit from that. That if you have learned to tolerate with the happiness and distress, heat and cold, what will happen is your identity as spirit soul will become strengthened inside. Otherwise, the same bodily concept of life will continue to exist for a long period of time. That so there, one important thing Krishna mentioned was that when you are feeling happy, that is an interesting thing. When you are feeling happy, don't stick to it, thinking that it is permanent. This is the, what do we normally do? We do like this. When it's happy, oh, it's fantastic. Everything is lovely. And try to enjoy as best as we can, because you don't know when you'll lose it. When you lose it, isn't it? So that fear inside. So what do? As soon as some happiness comes, we take the full advantage of it. The maximum from the swimming pools and all sorts of things, what we experience, isn't it? Yeah. Why should we lose? We've got the chance now. Krishna says, when happiness comes in life, don't stick to it. Just like when distress comes, you don't stick to it. Don't stick with it. Same attitude, if you take to happiness also, that is good, Krishna says. This sticking is the problem. that you stick to something. Sticking means that, you know, you get stuck with something, isn't it? That when happiness comes or distress comes, don't stick to it. If you get sticking, develops inside, then you are stuck. Then you are stuck. So don't allow to get stuck. Either situation. This verse is pointing out to that. When cold comes, don't get disturbed over it too much. Don't get stuck with it. Don't feel sticking to it and complain about it all the time in the cold weather. Similarly, when the heat comes also, don't complain about that and don't get sticking to it with the heat either or feeling very happy. People say, I'm feeling very happy today because the sun is shining. They say like that, isn't it? But that also is not right. That's what Krishna's point is. Because for transcendental situation, in a spiritual position, these things are not important. How much you are able to withdraw from that and stay away from that is your spiritual success. Not that as soon as the sun shines, I'm in bliss. As soon as there is winter weather, miserable winter, snow falling all the time, you are totally in misery. And that both are equally bad. Why? Agam, apayino, anityam. They will come, they will go, and they are temporary. That's the third line in that verse saying, Agam, apayino, anityam. They are temporary. And understanding everything in its true form is knowledge. As far as Krishna is concerned, knowledge means to understand something in its true form, what it is. Yeah? And the true form of all these things is, it comes, it goes, and it's temporary. That is the true form, isn't it? So if you understand it as it is, then Krishna says you have understood it properly. Tam tidikshasya bharata. In order to do that, you have to become tolerant. Tolerance is given as the most important. That's why in spiritual life it is said that this is the important thing. That now normally we are alternating between two poles, isn't it? What is that? Happiness and distress. Morning I am happy, in the evening I am miserable. Or in the morning I am miserable, in the evening I am very happy. Something happened in the office, everything went very well, I am very happy in the evening when I come back. So, and people also add to your misery in this way. You enjoying that, they ask you. You don't want to enjoy it. And if you are not enjoying, they feel miserable. You are not enjoying it, they say to you. So they force you to enjoy something and inject this into your mind all the time. You won't want to be enjoying. What is there to enjoy here so much in that? Anyway, but they won't allow you to do that. You enjoy that, they keep asking you, isn't it? But they never ask you, have you suffered because of that? Nobody asks you that, isn't it? So at that point you can see this, that the foolishness of all these questions. It's all not understanding things as they are. If you understand things as they are, is there anything to enjoy here or is there anything to suffer? Neither. Krishna says, Agam, Apayino, Anityam. Three words Krishna covered that they come, they go, and they are temporary. That is the truth. So, in all these things, we have to accept 100% what Krishna says. When you accept these things, you are accepting Krishna. If you are not accepting this, simply going to the temple and saying to Krishna all your miseries and coming home, that is not bhakti. Bhakti is accepting these things, what Krishna is telling us. When you accept these things from inside, Krishna says, yes, you are a good student. You are accepting me properly, what I have taught you. And that is bhakti. When you accept what Krishna says, that is bhakti. So, agama apayinu anityam tam tadikshasva bharata. Then, so why did he say all these things? Because it is sukham, dukkham, happiness, distress, that is what actually makes the mind to move. Isn't it? Mind starts wavering, mind starts getting affected when these things happen. Isn't it? When these things happen, mind starts affecting. So in order that the mind to be stable and peaceful, because only when the mind becomes quietened down, the soul inside will start waking up and it will start showing its presence to us. Up to that point, you will not know anything about the soul. You are completely in the grip of the mind. So you can see all instructions are centered around bringing this mind under control. Isn't it? How to keep the mind under control. Not allow him to go crazy and drive you in all crazy directions. And therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has been put in the charioteer's position, who controls the mind with the rein. the rain. Rain is the mind, isn't it? So you can see how the rain is falling in place of the mind. As Krishna is in the place of buddhi, intelligence, as the charioteer, and he is supposed to control. So when you say Krishna is sitting as the charioteer, what actually it means is this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, that should be the one which should be controlling our mind. That's what it means. Basically, that Krishna is sitting inside, but you're only taking Krishna's instruction seriously, and if it is used in your life in this world, that means Krishna is controlling our mind. If you do that, that if you don't stick to anything and you don't get affected by either by the happiness or distress, it will not create any strong emotions inside. The mind will be free from strong emotions. When you become very emotional, emotion is not the goal. Sometimes you can see, if you become excited, emotional, what will happen is, it's like a cycle. You go into the top, then you have to come down. That is the nature of emotions, isn't it? All emotions are like that. Even when you feel, in Kirtanam for example, you feel suddenly a lot of ecstasy. Fantastic music, nicely somebody singing, nice music. And you will see sometimes people, they become very ecstatic. Somebody starts dancing very ecstatically, they dance and all. After the dance is over, music is over, you are coming down to a very low level then. Then you feel depressed. Now what do I do? This question comes, isn't it? So you cannot experience any of these emotions permanently. That is not possible. You will never experience that emotions permanently. They are emotions. They are supposed to be moving. Motion. Motion is there in the emotion. So emotion is always up, down, up, down. Actual happiness, Krishna says, is shanti, when you are on a peaceful situation all the time. So when the mind is not disturbed, mind is peaceful, you can understand things better, and it will also elevate your spiritual realizations, will get stronger. So sukham, dukham, harsham, shogam, and all these things are coming and going, but I am not affected by that. Then, as long as we do not accept them from inside, Krishna says you have saved the problem. So when happiness and distress comes, if you don't accept it inside, if you can deal with it outside itself, that is better. Then, externally, you cannot stop them from coming in. Externally, you can't avoid. Heat and cold will come. That is going to come. That you cannot stop it. But internally, you can stop it by not accepting them in this way, with this understanding that they are temporary and they will come and go. So then sometimes people will say, oh, if you do like that, what will happen to you? Is it not a dead state? The mind is always blank and mind has nothing to do, and it looks like as though you got into a very difficult situation and all that. And then they'll also say, life means you should have some challenge in life, isn't it? They keep saying like this, you should have some challenge in life. What's life without challenge? And if you tell them that don't enjoy too much, they will say, what am I living for? All these kind of questions people raise to you, isn't it? They keep saying. But the fact is, Krishna is saying that this thing called the challenge, you are creating for yourself misery by creating challenges, isn't it? So therefore, he points out here that the if you stay without any challenges, it means that you are staying without any emotions, without any vigaram. No vigaram inside, no emotions inside. And that is what it means. If you create challenges inside, Krishna says that it will only create you more misery later. Sukham, dukham, that once it goes inside, then it will create problems. Once it goes inside. Now, here, one thing Krishna mentions here is that if you have to do something, you have to do it. Suppose you have to work in this world to maintain the body or to maintain the family, whatever it is, you have to do it. That is okay, that is fine. If you have to do the work, you have to do the work. But that does not mean that I have to be working 24 hours all the time. That's also not the point. Krishna says, if it is not necessary, why should you do it? That's important thing. If it's not necessary, why should you do it? It's only question Krishna says here that in that case you can sit quietly, idle. But people find it very fearful when they have to sit idle. When they have to sit idle quietly in one place, they become very fearful. So then they start thinking, I should have something to do. They think like that. So therefore, they will engage in some activity and try to distract their mind into something else. So, the first thing what you experience when you go into this idling mode, is that, say you decided not to engage in too many activities, what is not required, you have to do activities. Suppose you have to eat, and you have to sleep, and you may have to have some interaction with the world outside, but to an extent only. But after that, if you decide, okay, let me sit to myself and keep away from all this, it's not helping me. At that time, inside the mind, also, because you feel that you have withdrawn from the world will come to you. You left the world will come to you. That is the nature of the world. It is then that the chittavrittis inside becomes very big. So at that point, you have two options. Either to go back to the world again and keep yourself absorbed in the world, or to stop this chittavritti coming through knowledge. Through knowledge, free yourself from this continuous flow of thoughts that's coming through. And that's where Krishna is talking about shanti is required. That mind will start bringing continuously chittavritti. And this chittavritti is like this. That mind is like a demon inside, asura inside. This demon, if you keep on giving this tonic to him of this chittavritti, all what will happen is he will get stronger. This demon will become stronger. So therefore, Krishna is saying, find out the ways by which that you don't give this food for this demon inside, called the mind. The asura inside, is a rakshasa, he is trying to grow. And you are feeding him with more food, with more chittavritti. The chittavritti comes from, that's why, remember in the Bhagavad Gita later on, Krishna will say that food is one of the important factor which allows the mind to grow. Food and mind is connected. You eat rich food and large quantity, that means you become very agitated inside. The mind becomes very active. Therefore, Krishna says you should eat only so much what is necessary to do the work in this world. Keep it to the very minimum, what is minimum necessary to do the work. Don't make it an object of... because the tendency to enjoy food is very strong, isn't it? That you like nice food, when it's given in large quantity, you enjoy it at that time. But the subtle reaction of all that is the mind is growing inside. And when the mind grows, chittavritti will increase. When the chittavritti increases, you feel more restless. And when you feel more restless, you have to keep doing something. And in that case, shanti will never come inside. So that's why all the yogis also, they control their diet very much. So as a part of the program. So, ragam dvesham. So dvandvam is there. Ragam and dvesham. Krishna will talk about it little later. They are also dvandvam. And and the mind which has turned inwards, or the attention which has turned inwards, can observe these things, what is happening in the mind, very carefully. Then when these emotions free themselves away from the mind, it will come to a state of existence of peace within. It will bring a state of existence, a peace within inside. Then Upanishads also mentions the same thing. So the question is that if you do all that thing, will the pain go away or the misery go away? No, misery won't go away. What has happened is that when you get sick, there will be pain. Pain he will also experience. But only thing is, what the jnani or a realized soul does is, he does not allow the pain to get into the mind. He stops it where it has to stop. He doesn't allow the pain. Body feels the pain, but the mind won't. He won't allow the mind to be driven by that pain. He's able to keep that away from the influence. For example, once it so happened, when person who has studied very well Shastram and he has understood it well, what Krishna, these things are very basics in spiritual life, what Krishna is talking about. One who has got this understanding, once it so happened, somebody had to go for some operation in the hospital. And he had to put this ventilator for him to breathe. But because he had managed to, the relatives and all, they won't leave you when you get sick. They will say, go to this hospital, that hospital. So they took him to a hospital. And they had to put on the ventilator. So at that time, when he came out of the ventilator later, he says to others that, yes, when I was going through the ventilator, when the ventilator was put on me for breathing, I was experiencing that suffering of the body, but inside I was also experiencing the happiness of the soul, he says, that I did not allow that. Always I kept this knowledge very strongly in me, that let relatives do what they want to do with this body. Eventually one day this body will go away anyway. It's no point in doing all these things. This was very strongly in me, that I did not get disturbed over it. He was happy to mention that when he came out from the theater. So that is a, this is people who are cultivating this knowledge seriously. They will achieve that state in this very body itself. That is possible. Then Krishna is saying here, the pain will be there, but the suffering won't be there. Pain will be there, but the suffering won't be there. But he is not thinking about the pain and feeling miserable about that. That is what happens to those people. He is not thinking about that pain and feeling miserable about that. Most of the time what happens to us is that we start experiencing some pain in the body, then we start thinking about it too much and start suffering more from that. But if we have learned this knowledge has at least a little bit gone inside, we'll start accepting that, well, that is happening now because of the problems in the body and it should not affect me. I am not that body. If that is very strong inside, you won't feel miserable as much as when you think I am this body. If you think you are the body, you are going for a big problem after that, isn't it? So then you look everywhere, where is all the painkillers, which painkiller should I take, and then is there sufficient supply for me for emergencies? All these thoughts have come from, it's all due to the attachment for the body. Ecstasy through pain, that is what the Brahmanishtas calls it. Who are fixed in Brahman, they call it as ecstasy through pain. Then all kinds of emotions are waves that is created inside in our consciousness. Bodha Mandalam it is called, isn't it? They are not separate. So jnanis have got that realization, therefore sukham dukkham, happiness, distress, that does not disturb them. Then this experience of the soul is different from the experience of the body. Experience of the body. For jadam, dead matter, it will not happen. The dead matter is not experiencing pain, isn't it? Why does it experience pain? Because the consciousness is present inside the body. So if we understand this tattvam, Krishna says that any experience can become an experience of Brahman. That raga dvesham will also go away because of that. So, when pain happens to the body, Krishna says, when pain happens to the body, if you know that the pain is or suffering is coming to the mind because of the presence of the soul in the form of consciousness, isn't it? So, for example, if I hit this mic won't feel the pain. Put it. Why do somebody hit me, I feel the pain? Why is that? Because exactly like the way the soul's presence and its consciousness gives us that experience. All sense enjoyment, all sensual happiness, distress, everything you are experiencing only because of the presence of the soul inside. So it is the nature of the soul to give you this understanding of anubhavam, experience. It's not pratiti. Pain is not pratiti. Pain is experiencing, isn't it? So pain you are experiencing, why? Because the soul is inside. And similarly, attachment and aversion to everything in this world you are experiencing inside due to the presence of the soul and the consciousness. So Krishna says that that this anubhavam or experience is only for Chaitanyam, for the living force, only has that quality, that experiencing something like that. So now, in our life in this world, while within this body, body is giving you so much happiness and distress based on the experiences what you receive from this world, isn't it? Weather conditions, happiness, distress, all those sorts of things. On the other hand, you are also experiencing certain spiritual happiness from the soul. Spiritual happiness from the soul. Because Krishna says, Anandam is one of the attributes of the soul. And it trickles through when it is not disturbed by all the experiences of the world. If the experiences of the world takes over, if you give importance to that, Krishna says, this experience from the soul will not develop inside. So in order to experience this happiness of the soul inside, one has to keep away from all the experiences of the happiness that's coming from the world outside. From the world outside, or distress for that matter. And that is why Krishna is saying, that happiness which is coming from the senses, keep them away, don't allow them to get in. But allow that happiness which is coming from the soul to flourish inside. So in that way, you will develop the spiritual realization will come. Krishna says there that what you have found inside the heart, Krishna says, that is the only thing that is permanent. And that is a permanent thing. Whereas ragam, dvesham, attachment, aversion, they will come and they will go. And once that goes away, the peace inside will start developing. Now, suppose happiness, distress comes, somebody insults you, somebody praises you. All those things are coming and going. If somebody praises you, that also the happiness what comes from that won't last you very long. It'll go after some time. Similarly, somebody insults you, that distress what comes from that also will go after some time, Krishna says. So, ragadvesham and manam apamanam. Manam means honoring you, avamanam means insulting you. Ragam, dvesham, manam, avamanam. Sukham, dukham, happiness and distress. Success and failure, jayam and parajayam. Krishna calls them jayam and parajayam. These are the dundums of this world, dundum. And dualities causes problem. Dualities causes problem. Either they give you happiness or they give you distress. The experience anandam that comes from the soul, it is not a duality. It is one and only one thing. And that lives as it is. It does not create any turbulence in the mind. Dualities creates turbulence inside. Dualities creates turbulence inside. The happiness coming from the soul will not create turbulence. So therefore, we have to learn to stop them. Krishna says there. That so one who does not get affected by these things, and he is ready for, or who has come to this pakkuda. Pakkuda means that maturity states. Krishna says that person is ready for self-realization. And that is what is spoken in the next verse. If you look into the next verse, Krishna will say, text 15, isn't it? So, I'll just read that verse. Yam hi navyathayantyete purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dhiram somradatvaya kalpade. Once again, yam hi navyathayantyete purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dhiram somradatvaya kalpate. Translation I'll read. O best among men, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. That is the translation. Yamhina vyadhayandiyade purusham purusharshabha sukhadukka samamdhiram somradatvaya kalpade. A beautiful verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says here, yamhina vyadhayandiyade purusham purusharshabha. That person who is very purusham purusharshabha, the man who is the most courageous person, is that person, that one who does not disturbed by the dvandvam or dualities of this world. Krishna never says that person is one who has developed nuclear weapons or who has gone and fought with the tiger or the lion in the forest as the man, real man. The man means the man, one who has got the real strength. Person who has got the strength, one who has learned how to fight, how to not to get disturbed over any of the dualities, what's happening in this world. That is our spiritual strength. And this is what we have to cultivate within us. Cultivate means that this is what the truth is. So getting closer to the truth means realizing that. So yamhinam vyathayandiyade purusham purusharshabha. And purusham purusharshabha, among the purushas, he is the king among men. Why? Sukham dukham samam dhira somradatvaya kalpare. He is not disturbed over sukham or dukham. When sukham comes, he is not bothered. It comes. He takes it that way. He is not getting excited over it. Similarly, when dukkham comes also, distress comes also, he is not excited over it. He is still very much equipoised or balanced in his mind. So, such a person, Krishna says, somradatvaya kalpade, he is ready for liberation. Look at what how simple liberation is. Krishna says, if a person has come to that consciousness, then he is ready for liberation. He is not bound by anymore anything. He is free to do what he wants. So here, what does not disturb him? When in your world of Sangalpam, Sangalpam means we create a world of inside, our own, isn't it, in which we live normally. We have our own world we create inside, isn't it? And in that world we make decisions. This is how I'm going to deal with other people, this is how I'm going to deal with others, all these kind of things. Then sukham dukham, heat and cold, and these dualities, when they live inside in the form of attachment and aversion, because sometimes sukham comes, these are very subtle things in life. If you observe it carefully, you will see how it affects. I'll give you an example. When you go for preaching programs and things like that, right? You go and there, some people give you money. Some people give you money. Some people don't give you any money. Now, if you start seeing things in that way, what will happen? What will happen in that way? Your spiritual life is blown straight away, gone with that. Straight away, it goes. Because straight away, without your knowledge, the ones who gives you money, ragam will develop. The ones who don't give you money, dvesham will develop. See how subtle they, without your knowledge, this develops inside. And then what will happen? You will only run after those who give you money. This is the truth of this world. Nobody can deny these things. Yeah? And they become the spiritually qualified people. Others are all useless. This thing comes from that. This is not spiritual. This shows that where they are at in spiritually, people who are doing it. At what level are they? What have they understood from Bhagavad Gita? Because of this reason, I have seen some great personalities, they won't even touch the money. Because they know it will create ragam dosham inside. Because of the fear of that, they don't want to touch it, the money. They keep away from that. Somebody else may manage things. That is, those people who are not in that level, they want to manage many, many heads of the mutts. They don't care about it. I've seen this with many, many big mutts, big acharyas and sannyasis, highly realized and learned souls. Mm. People, big industrialists come to them, businessmen. Mm. They come and they will try to induce this into them. That, what can I do for you, Swamiji? What shall I build for you? Can I build this? Can I build that? He says to you, don't build anything for me, you build for yourself. You are already in trouble, you want me also get into trouble. That's the answer. I heard these people talking like this. That they told him, you are already suffering, you want me also to suffer with your money. He says, answer like that to him. Why? Because this ragam dvesham develops in a natural way, it will come. That money can ease, money is the first thing which does that. It will create this misunderstanding inside. And then everything will go. Spirituality will fly away from there. At the very moment, spiritual life is gone. Because this ragadvesham which Krishna has talked about is coming from this kind of things, isn't it? Yamhina vyadhayandiyade purusham purusharshava. Krishna says, one who has gone beyond than this, that who can see equally in all these situations, that this is only going to give me attachment, that is only going to give me aversion. If you see like that, you will not feel this disturbances inside. It will not bring that disturbances inside. So that's only an example, but what I'm saying is, when this is inside, your peace will go. Once ragam and dvesham has entered inside, then the peace has gone inside. Isn't it? Shandi is not there anymore. Then any incident, what has happened outside, if you have dealt with it either with attachment or with hate, it will disturb your peace. Isn't it? Any activity, that the shanti will go. So that means dvandvam has caused this problem, and you can easily find out the movement of the mind has only happened due to that duality outside. That so once you have managed to avoid this movement of the mind, then you can be peaceful with life. You can be peaceful with life. Ega darshanam. There is only one thing in this world, that realization will come, the soul. There is no other second thing existing. The spiritual nature of the soul will be revealed to us. Egam eva adhidiyam brahma. Only brahmam exists. The soul is existing, nothing else. Then sarvam khalidam brahma. These statements in the Upanishads are all talking about people who have come to this platform of realization. And after that, Krishna says, so, yamhinam vyathayam yeda purusham purusharshabha, that when one is experiencing, and when one stops this movement of the mind, he will also notice that in this world there is only one thing that exists. The soul, which has taken these different forms in different bodies, in different forms in the matter, all these are nothing but transformation of the soul, isn't it? From the soul. If you look back into the creation, you will see like this, that originally there is only soul. Soul is the origin of everything, isn't it? When did all these things happen? When we have forgotten the soul, Maya has come. Maya means Atma Vismriti. Forgetting the soul is Maya, is it not? Forgetting the soul is Maya. And when you are remembering, when you are in Maya, you have forgotten the soul. So in other words, Maya also has, by forgetting the soul only, Maya has come. Maya's existences come from forgetfulness of the soul. Similarly, from Maya, Mahatattvam came. Mahatattvam, the three modes of nature, has come. So, one after the other, right up to this point of this gross body, is only that has been transforming from one to another, one to another, one to another. Maya transformed into Mahatattvam, Mahatattvam transformed to modes of nature transformed to Rajasahangaram, false ego in three modes, Sattvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam, and from there, Indriyam, senses, mind, intelligence, and then the Tanmatras have developed into the gross body. Like this, development, changes, eventually we reach this gross body. That's why we come to this gross body level. But prior to becoming this gross body, what was our original state? Original state was Atma, the soul. So, kept on changing, one after the other, we reach this state of gross body. So, if you stay in this gross body level, the original state you will never get to. Original state, we'll never get to. Krishna is saying here that one after the other, these things have to go. These changes, what has happened to you. Body will leave you at the time when the parabdham is finished. Mind also will die when you don't allow the mind to grow. If you don't feed the mind with more chitavritti and more food, then the mind will also come under control, and eventually the soul will keep control over the mind. The mind will go back to where it has come from. Mind you have not created. It came out from... Nobody knows how the mind was created. Nobody knows. Some anirvajaniyam, undefinable, they say. Power has come out from the soul and started became the mind. And it started going out and start dealing with the world and created all these problems. Had this mind has come back eventually and went back to the same place where it came from, then the whole problem is solved. It's finished with that. So mind is a power which originates from somewhere in the soul. It comes out and it does all these things in this world, and eventually it goes back and surrenders there from where it came from. That is the nature of the mind. So Krishna says here that one who has come, and in order to do that, all these techniques Krishna has told us. Matrasparshyastu kaunteya, shidoshna sukadukhada, agama payino anityam, tamdidikshasu bharada. And in this verse Krishna is saying that one who has reached that state of consciousness, where whose mind has also gone inwards and gone inwardly in such a way that it doesn't come out anymore, that he is not getting disturbed over anything, he is a dhira. So he says here that yamhino vedhayandiyada purusham purusharshava sukham dukham samam dhiram somrutatvaya kalpade. He is already reached that state of peaceful state in himself, that he will not be affected by anything what is going on around him. He does not get affected by anything what is going around him. So, I have got 3-4 minutes more. That one point thing I want to say is this, that I started thinking that in 3 weeks we could finish. This was in my mind. I'm not very good in judging timings based on the particular verse. I couldn't plan like this. I've not done these kind of things before. I don't know about it. So I thought that 3 weeks I'll be able to finish. But only after a week I realized that 3 weeks is too short. That if I want to talk through this, because many, many verses coming now is more important. Particularly Krishna is going on pushing this point across to us about the soul so strongly. It is difficult to not to listen to it. Personally, I'm saying, I'm sure you will also notice that when you go through the second chapter seriously. So, strictly we should have finished on this Friday as per the program originally. But it looks that I couldn't do that. So, I was thinking that Kartik begins on Saturday, this Saturday. And I'm here till end of October. So, if I get another 3 weeks, probably I'll get through a lot more than what I have done. And if there is anything left, I can do that when I come back in December, when I come back in end of November. So I'm away for the whole of November, going to India. So if that's okay with you, we can continue from this till, say, about 23rd of November. That means 3 more weeks after this week, I'm saying. 23rd
of October.
23rd of, oh, sorry, October. 23rd of October. So another 3 weeks we can continue with this. And we are just entering into the second chapter. One or two things Krishna has spoken. First about the soul, then about the body and how to deal with the body. How to deal with the body. These things Krishna has spoken now. And he also said about two symptoms. These two verses is about that. And the most important verse of the Bhagavad Gita is coming after this. That nasado vidyate bhavo. That is the most important verse on which the whole thing, what changed Arjuna, you can say. What made Arjuna to take the weapon straight away, what he threw it out before. That is that verse, Nasadevi Jadev Bhavo. Acharyas gives a lot of importance to that verse. So we are hoping to continue after this Friday for another 3 more weeks. Yeah. So we'll stop there today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah.